Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, students. Welcome to our Thursday evening, well, actually our Friday lesson summary tonight. We're on our course, Cornerstones of Truth, and we're on session four this week, which is talking about Christ, the visible expression of the invisible God. Now, this session will help the students understand that Christ is both human and divine, and the purpose is to lead them to a better knowledge of Him by studying His mighty acts, because the more we know about our wonderful Lord, the more we should want to love and serve Him. That will be what we will go over during tonight's lesson summary review. And again, as we always do, we want to take time out now to pray and set our hearts and minds toward God's Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to bring us understanding, illumination, and inspiration from the scriptures tonight. We're going to pray for God's special blessings upon each and every one of our staff and students. And I ask that you now take time to cultivate your own time of devotion and relationship with Him. So let us seek God in prayer even now. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. We're so thankful for the privilege of studying your word. We thank you for providing it for us. I pray for each one of our students and staff members. You know each one by their name. And I thank you, Father, that you are caring for their various needs that they may have. I ask now, Holy Spirit, that you will help direct our study session so that it will benefit our spiritual lives. We make these supplications and petitions in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving tonight. Hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our Thursday evening lesson summary review. Tonight we're going over the course. We're continuing the course, Cornerstones of Truth, and we're on session four, which is Christ, the visible expression of the invisible God. Now, as we introduce this week's lesson review, I'd like to comment that our personal relationship with Christ is the reason Christ became man or God visible. So a study of Christ's humanity and divinity is pointless apart from our personal experience with Him. Without this relationship, we would just simply be gathering information and gathering facts about a person that we have no relationship with, that we do not know and does not know us. But because we are not only gathering information, but we are also submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we experience a personal relationship with Him. Another thing we want to think about as we introduce this week's review, and as you go over the topics that were discussed in your study guide, is that in order for us to have an opportunity to tell what Christ means to us personally, we're going to ask several questions that hopefully will spur your thinking. And you can take a blank sheet of paper and jot down any thoughts or ideas that come to your mind as we go over these questions. There are about five questions to get us started with this week's lesson review. Now, the first question we want to start with is this: how does Christ's humanity affect your relationship with Him? How does the fact that Jesus was not only God, but also man, how does this affect your relationship to Him? And as you ponder that thought and look over your course information contained in your study guide, we will see that because Christ became a man, He understands all of our needs. He understands the tests, the trials, the temptations and tribulations that we have. And because He knows all about us, we can pray to Him with confidence that He will give us the help we need in every life situation. You will find a reference for this in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. Let's look at a second question. If Christ is God, what should be your attitude toward Him? And again, our study guide pointed us to an answer, and I want you to write down any ideas that come to your mind. Since Christ is God, our attitude toward Him should be as such. We should honor the Son the way we honor the Father. You'll see a reference for that in John chapter 5, verse 23. And this is true, students, because we owe Him our worship and also our trust. You see, we can have no problem so great that He cannot solve it, for He says in Matthew 28:18, all authority or power in heaven and on earth has been given unto Me. So this is why we have an attitude of honoring the Son the way we honor the Father, and we realize that we owe Him our worship as well as our trust. Here's a third question let's take a look at. Is Christ's omnipresence important to us today? Omnipresence relates to the characteristic of God that explains His power and ability to be present everywhere at the same time. Always present. He's an ever-present God. Now, how is that important to us today? Again, your study guide alluded to the answers that we want you to get. We need to realize, students, that it is important because we need His help and we desire His fellowship. He said He would be with us always to the very end of the age in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. So we realize that Jesus was not far from Stephen in the hour of His death, as we see recorded in Acts chapter 7, verse 55. We also see that Christ appeared to John during his exile to the island of Patmos, as recorded in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And we also see that Christ talked with Saul on the road to Damascus sometime after He had returned to heaven. We can see reference for that in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and verse 6. So that talks about how Christ's omnipresence is important to us today, looking at how He was present with those in the past in times of trial and times of triumph. Christ is always with us. Here's a fourth question we want to think about as we introduce this week's study. Jesus likened Himself to a shepherd in the Scriptures. What does this mean to you? As you think about that for a second, I want you to know that He, Jesus, is the good shepherd who loved us so much that He gave His life for us. You see an example of that in John chapter 10, verse 11. So if we believe this, and if we have accepted and embraced Christ as our shepherd, and if we will follow Him the way sheep follow their shepherd, He will protect us from our enemies and provide for all of our needs. Again, you can see reference of this in John chapter 10, verses 4 through 9. Let's take a look at one final question in our introduction. What difference does it make to you whether Christ rose from the dead or not? What difference does it make to you whether Christ arose from the dead? And the study guide pointed us to this fact, saints. We can see the example that the Apostle Paul wrote. He said that if Jesus did not arise from the dead, our faith is useless or in vain, and we are still guilty of our sins. You'll see a reference for this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. We'll see also that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sin, and he was raised to life for our justification. That is, he was raised back to life for our vindication, to clear us of all guilt of sin. You'll see a reference for this in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 4, verse number 25. So I pray that these five questions help to spur your thinking and deepen your understanding about how Christ expressed the invisible God to us. Now, the second section of our lesson tonight is going to talk to us about visits with the risen Christ. This is one of the proofs in scriptures that we have that Christ arose and he was seen by many people, many believers in the scriptures. So now we're going to look at an exercise sheet. Of course, if you're in the classroom, your instructor will provide you with a copy of the exercise sheet. This exercise sheet is going to talk about two different stories that are contained in the scripture text. If you have a blank sheet of paper, you can write these down. The first story will deal with one of Jesus' disciples named Thomas. And you'll find the text from which these questions will come from. And prayerfully, you can use the same text to find the answers that we're looking for. So if you want to make notes, the first story is coming from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. There are two questions that we're going to ask that are pertaining to that portion of scripture. And the first question is this: do you think the other disciples were angry with Thomas when he refused to believe their story? If you have read this particular text, to paraphrase, it talks about the fact that Jesus appeared to the other disciples when Thomas was not present, and Thomas has claimed that he would not believe it until he see the Lord with his own eyes and put his hands where they pierced him. So the question is asking again, do you think the other disciples were angry with Thomas when he refused to believe their story? And why or why not? I want you to write down your own thoughts about that. And as you do so, let's look at what the lesson brought to our attention. One of the things that the lesson alluded to is that perhaps they considered Thomas to be rather pessimistic by nature, that he was skeptical by nature. They may have remembered what Thomas said when he learned Lazarus had died. You can see example in John chapter 11, verse 16. The other disciples also knew that some persons are slower to believe than others. However, as we look at the text, they also knew that Thomas was an honest seeker of the truth. For they could recall how he once asked Jesus where he was going from earth and how they could get there. So you can see this reference in John chapter 14, verse 5. So many times, Thomas' response could be interpreted in many different ways, but these are perhaps some of the ways in which the other disciples viewed his statement that he would not believe unless he seen him with his own eyes and touched him with his own hands. So these examples of scripture that I gave you will help you understand a little bit about the relationship that the other disciples had with Thomas and some insight into Thomas's personality. A second question we want to ask about this story is, how do you think Thomas felt when Jesus came again and spoke to him? In this particular question, as we think about it, Thomas must have been greatly relieved when Jesus gave him such a mild rebuke. You can see in John chapter 20, verse 27. And we also can understand that he must have been very thankful when Jesus allowed him to touch his body, to see that he was not just a spirit, but actually a risen person. You see the example of this in Luke chapter 24, verse 39. We see that Thomas was so moved that he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God," in John chapter 20, verse 28. So we see that Thomas was convinced that this was the same Jesus that had been crucified, and that he was indeed the Son of God. So we can imagine the relief that Thomas felt, same as I believe that Peter felt when Jesus came to him after Peter had denied the Lord thrice and asked Peter, "If you love me." It is very telling, these encounters, that Jesus is a restorer. He wants to repair relationships. He wants to reconcile us back to God. And so this is very telling for us, that whenever we feel guilt or bondage or shame, that we should humble ourselves before God and receive, even if it's a mild rebuke or correction, understanding that Jesus is here to be a restorer and a reconciler, a deliverer and a healer for us. So think about that first story, about the story, that scripture that relate to Thomas, and how the other disciples may have saw him, and how Thomas may have felt when he finally saw the Lord, the risen Lord. We're studying our course, Cornerstones of Truth. Tonight we're looking at session 4, dealing with Christ, the visible expression of the invisible God. Let's take a look at a second story contained in the book of John. If you're making notes, you can write down John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Now, prayerfully, you've already read these portions of scripture. If not, you can go ahead and read them, pause the message, and come back and look at listen to the questions again. But here's a third question that we want to ask as you look at that portion of scripture. Why do you think the disciples decided to go fishing in this account? This was after Jesus has revealed himself to them. He's been gone away now. Now, they really don't know what to do, so they went back to fishing. So during those 40 days following the resurrection, we see disciples had much time on their hands. Jesus was obviously not with them most of the time, so they did what they had been accustomed to doing. They went fishing. For many of the disciples were fishermen by trade. And it may have been some very practical reasons why they did so. Perhaps they needed to fish in order to eat or to sell for their daily supplies. But we understand that this is probably some of the reasons why they decided to go fishing, as we look at that particular portion of scripture. And later on, while they were doing so, they saw a man on the shore who told them where to throw their nets, and they gathered a great harvest, and then there was fish in loaves on the shore when they returned. So that goes to our second question. Why did the disciples decide that the man on the shore must be Jesus? Again, if we think about the context of the scripture, as we look at a little bit as a backdrop, since they were only perhaps 100 yards from the shore, it is likely that they ought to have recognized Jesus, but they were not expecting him to be there. And a lot of times we find Jesus where we don't expect him, and a lot of times when we're not expecting him, we don't find him. But so the disciples, even in this case, they were not really expecting to find Jesus being here. This proves to us that Jesus was indeed very much alive after his resurrection. So when they cast their nets where he suggested, the scripture tells us they caught so many fish that they may have remembered another miracle that he did like this in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 10. Luke 5, 4 through 10. And also, it's likely that they knew only Jesus, the man who they had lived and walked and talked with for 3.5 years, could only perform such great miracles. All these things that were happening reminded them of how life was like when Christ was alive with them, and made them really understand that Christ was indeed alive again. Let's look at a fifth question from this story. Now, since Jesus had a resurrected body, this is after his death, burial, crucifixion, and now he's back alive again. Since Jesus had a resurrected body, do you think he actually ate fish with the disciples? This is very critical, because if Jesus was just, as some people may say, a spirit or a ghost, had no physical body, that he would not be able to eat physical food. But since Jesus had a resurrected body, the Bible says that, yes, he ate broiled fish in the presence of his disciples, and on another occasion that you'll find in Luke chapter 24, verses 40 to 43. These things speak clearly to the fact that only a physical person could eat physical food. It's another thing that proves to us that Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. A final question let's take a look at as we think about the story about when the disciples went fishing and caught a great catch, and they recognized Jesus on the shore. This question is, if you had been there on the shore with Jesus and his disciples, would you have believed in the resurrection? It may not be easy to answer that, considering the events that had happened just 40 days earlier with Jesus' crucifixion and the empty tomb. So I want you to take the opportunity to express your faith in Christ by writing a personal testimony of how Christ revealed himself to you. Or if you're still, maybe like Thomas, you want to see the Lord, you want him to reveal himself to you in order for you to believe, then it's take time now to express that thought and or praise unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Remember, this is not all about a fact-finding or information-gathering session. Although we will gather many facts and acquire much information about Jesus and what the scriptures say, the primary thing is to have a personal relationship with the one that we're gathering the facts and the information about. And that is the personal relationship with Jesus and our faith in him. Now, as we conclude this week's lesson review, I want you to look through your study guide and review the main points of the lesson. And here are the main points that you really should get out of this week's lesson. You can write these down if you would like. The first main point that you should get as you review your study guide is that Christ demonstrated his deity, or the fact that he is God, by three different ways. One, by receiving worship from men. Two, by forgiving sins. Three, by raising the dead on at least three occasions. And there's a fourth one, by claiming the right to judge. These are some of the ways that Christ demonstrated his deity, or the fact that he is God. Let's look at a second major point that this lesson made. The same natural and moral characteristics that we see in God the Father are seen in Christ the Son. Just like we're made in the image of God after his likeness, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, so he has the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, for God is Spirit. So therefore, the conception of the Holy Spirit, which conceived Jesus, tells us that the same characteristics exist in both. A third major point that this lesson made for us is that he was called the Son of Man, but also the Son of God. And this tells us that the various names given to him in the Gospels indicate both his humanity as well as his divinity. That he was the Son of Man, but also the Son of God. Here's a fourth fact or main point that this lesson brought to our attention. The incarnation, meaning God made flesh, means that the Son of God became a human being. This means that what he did was he added a man's nature to his already existing divine personality. Many times you may have heard someone say that we are not a body with a spirit, we are a spirit with a body. You find an Old Testament text that speaks to the fact in the, one of the prophecies may have been Isaiah when he says, Lord, prepare me a body, for the Spirit of God always existed. For God is everlasting. He has no beginning or ending. He is Alpha and Omega. So that speaks to the fact that the incarnation represented that God became flesh and dwelt among us, or became a human being. And a fifth main point that this lesson brought to our attention that I want you to meditate upon is that he took our sins upon himself, he being Jesus, took our sins upon himself and carried them away by the shedding of his blood, his death on the cross. That was the price for sin. And since his resurrection and ascension, he is exalted in heaven as our sovereign Lord. Now, Scripture says that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And because of this, it brings us marvelous benefits. Think about our last lesson that we studied in session 3, which talked about the benefits we have because Christ is resurrected and alive even today. Praise the Lord. So I thank God for giving us this opportunity to study this week's lesson. I want to note that the points that we talked about just now are the very things that various cults which claim to be Christian distort or cast aside. That's why it's important for you to hold on to these truths that are contained in Scripture, because anyone who distorts one of these points is not a true follower of Christ. So we need students to be familiar with the scripture passages which support the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And this is why this course is very relevant, the systematic theology or course on biblical doctrine, which is called Cornerstones of Truth. These are some foundational beliefs that will, on which you can place your faith on and trust that these things are true. So again, I really blessed to have this opportunity. We've been studying session 4 of the course, Cornerstones of Truth, dealing specifically with Christ, the visible expression of the invisible God. So we see some examples of how Christ visits people after his resurrection. We answer some questions about how Thomas related to the resurrection. We also see how the early disciples had to understand the relationship with the risen Christ as they fished and gathered a great catch and saw Jesus on the shore. May Christ become not just an ideal for you, but may he become real for you. That is my prayer. So Lord, we thank you for this time of study. Be with each student in their household, in their families, over their health, wealth, life, and ministries. Bless us and prosper us as we place our complete trust and faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again, students, for allowing me this opportunity. I look forward to our next session. In the meantime, God bless each one of you, and good night.